Greetings, friends. Many people feel that Antiochus Epiphanes was the abomination of desolation. Is that true? Well, many other people believe that Titus was the abomination of desolation. Is that true? Well, in fact, both of them are a type of the abomination of desolation. They are not the abomination of desolation that was prophesied by Daniel the prophet, even though at the time of Daniel, Antiochus Epiphanes and Titus had not come on the scene. Still, Daniel was not prophesying about those two individuals in particular. He did leave us some detailed information about Antiochus Epiphanes so that we can get an understanding of what the ultimate fulfillment of this abomination of desolation will be during the end time. And so we're going to study Antiochus Epiphanes in detail, because by studying his life, we can surely see a lot of information about what the future abomination of desolation will be like. So in a sense, Antiochus Epiphanes, along with Titus, since together they actually had a hand in the destruction of the second temple, which was built by Ezra and Nehemiah and then expanded by Herod, since they had a hand in that, we can say that they are a type together of an abomination of desolation, but they are not the prophesied abomination of desolation. That's for a time in what I believe is the near future. But let's go back to the past so that we can get a lot of details about Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, all this in verses 21 through 45 of Daniel 11, that's Daniel 11, verses 21 through 45, all this is a prophecy of the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes. He was a sworn enemy to the Jewish religion and a bitter persecutor of those that adhered to it. And you know what? There is no evil person upon which more verses of prophecy are used. This is because he reigned between the Old and New Testaments when prophets were silent. So just like the Jews in those days, Christians in the future will need to rely on these prophetic scriptures in order to understand the signs of the times. We can also, of course, study some history, which we're going to cover a little bit today, about Antiochus Epiphanes, and then later on, as we'll do in subsequent programs, we'll see some history about Titus, the Roman general, because these two individuals together had something to do with an abomination of desolation. And by the way, to give you a definition of the abomination of desolation, it is an end time, corrupt and carnal king that sets himself up in the Jerusalem temple as supreme ruler. And he causes his army to stop the daily sacrifice of the Jews that are being performed in the temple. And eventually, because of his wrath against the Jewish people, he will destroy the temple, destroy the city, and destroy the Jewish people. And this abomination of desolation, when you see it, you should know, you should understand that the great tribulation is about to break forth. Because the abomination of desolation is the sign that the great tribulation is about to break forth. So we have the abomination of desolation kicking off the great tribulation. And this again, as I believe, will happen in the very near future. But let's go back to the past and we'll read in detail about Antiochus Epiphanes, because God spends a lot of time on him, so we're going to spend a lot of time on him. God spends a lot of time on him because he is a type of the abomination of desolation. So we need to understand this, because this future carnal and corrupt king that will set up the abomination of desolation will follow this pattern. Okay, so let's turn to Daniel chapter 11 and we'll start reading in verse 21 and go through 45. And in verses 21 through 27, to help you to really keep track of this, know that there's really three divisions in the history of Antiochus Epiphanes, who is called a vile person. All right, and the first division is his rise to power through covenants. He makes covenants with people, And in verses 21 through 27 of Daniel chapter 11, we're going to see discussion about these covenants. So he rose to power through making covenants or agreements with people. And then the second division of the history of this vile person is the taking away of the daily sacrifice and the setting up of the abomination of desolation. We'll see that in verses 28 through 31. And then we see the third division being his blasphemies that he committed during his career, and also his death and destruction, and a destruction of his kingdom, his reign. That is explained in verses 32 through 45 of Daniel chapter 11. So turning over to verse 21, it says, "A vile person shall stand up to whom they had not given the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in time of security," very key, "he shall come in time of security and shall obtain the kingdom by flatteries." Also very, very important for us to understand this. What is the fulfillment of this? Antiochus called himself Epiphanes, that is the illustrious, but others nicknamed him Epimenes, not Epiphanes, but Epimenes, that is the madman. They called him the madman for his sordid acts and for his crafty supplanting of Demetrius, who was the rightful heir to the throne. So Antiochus actually supplanted this person. That's why it says that he comes in a time of security and he obtains the kingdom by flatteries, through deceit. But people did not give him the honor of the kingdom because he was a madman. He was a vile person. So again, verse 21 says, "A vile person shall stand up," speaking of Antiochus Epiphanes, "he shall stand up." And whenever you see that phrase "stand up," it means this person is coming to power. So when we saw in the book of Matthew chapter 24 and also Mark chapter 13 and Luke 21, where it says, "When you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place," here's that same word, "a vile person shall stand up." That means take control, come to power. So you're going to see a power in the temple, standing in the holy place. "So a vile person shall stand up to whom they had not given the honor of the kingdom, because he was so vile and because he obtained it through flatteries." But notice that he came in a time of security. Now in verses 22 through 24, it says, "The opposing forces shall be overwhelmed from before him and shall be broken. Yes, also the prince of the covenant." See, he makes a covenant with this prince. Now, what is the explanation of this? Antiochus Epiphanes invaded Egypt with overwhelming forces. After he came to power, he invaded Egypt with overwhelming forces. His nephew, Ptolemy Philometor, was joined in covenant with him. But, as the scripture goes on to say, "After the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully." After Antiochus comes into covenant with Ptolemy, he works deceitfully, and with a small contingent of people, he shall become strong. In other words, Antiochus gets Ptolemy's trust by leaving only a few faithful followers in key positions in Egypt, while letting Ptolemy assume the lead role. So after they together conquered Egypt, Antiochus said, "Okay, I'll feign as though I'm taking a back seat, and I'll just leave a small contingent of people there." But these people were very faithful to Antiochus, and they worked their ways into high and significant positions. And after they did that, they performed treachery on Ptolemy by betraying him. So Antiochus first got Ptolemy's trust by leaving only a few faithful followers in key positions in Egypt, while letting Ptolemy assume the lead role as the ruler of Egypt. But then Antiochus's men gained a lot of influence and helped Antiochus to complete his treacherous acts against Ptolemy. "Meanwhile, Antiochus shall enter peaceably upon the fattest places of the kingdom." So this is while his men are gaining power in Egypt and plotting to overthrow Ptolemy. While that is going on, "Antiochus shall enter peaceably upon the fattest places," and this means of the kingdom of Syria, which at that time was a very, very wealthy country. He entered in there peaceably again through a covenant upon the fattest places of the kingdom of Syria, and then he shall scatter among the people the spoil and the riches. Why did he do this? He did it to gain their affections. But at the same time, he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds. What this means is that his generosity is only going to last for a short time. What happened was, when he took control of the army, he ceased being generous and started ruling by force. He came in as a sly fox, but he ruled as a roaring lion. That's what it means, that he came peaceably upon the fattest places of the kingdom of Syria, but then as he gained power, he actually used that power to destroy Syria, and he became very, very strong. Now in verses 25 through 27, this describes his second war expedition into Egypt. The first one, he went together with Ptolemy. They gained power and position and rulership over Egypt. And then Antiochus backed away, allowed Ptolemy to be the ruler, but Antiochus left his boys there with him so that they could actually work to really be the power behind the scenes. And now Antiochus comes back to make war against Ptolemy while Ptolemy is in Egypt. And it says, Antiochus shall stir up his power and courage. He did this against Ptolemy, his nephew, who is now king of Egypt. Ptolemy thereupon shall be stirred up to battle against Antiochus. He shall come against him with a very great and mighty army. But Ptolemy, though he has such a vast army, shall not be able to stand before him. For Antiochus's army shall overthrow Ptolemy's army and overpower it, and great multitudes of the Egyptian army shall fall down slain. And no marvel, for the king of Egypt shall be betrayed by his own counselors, who were really the cohorts of Antiochus. And that's why the scripture says, those that feed of the portion of his meat, those that actually sat at the same table with Ptolemy, those that eat of his bread and live off of his riches, being bribed by Antiochus, they shall forecast devices against Ptolemy, and even they shall destroy him. So after the battle, in which Ptolemy was destroyed by Antiochus and these treacherous people that Antiochus had set up to actually work behind the scenes to help overthrow Ptolemy, his nephew, after that battle occurred and Antiochus won, a treaty of peace was signed between these two kings. And it says that these two kings shall meet at one table to adjust the articles of peace between them, but neither one of them shall be sincere in it, for they shall, in their pretenses and promises of friendship, actually be lying to one another, for their hearts shall be at the same time to do one another all the mischief that they can. And that's why the scripture says, no marvel, it shall not prosper. This covenant shall not prosper. The peace, in other words, is not going to last. But the end of it shall be at the time appointed. So God, in his divine providence, brought this kind of fake and weak peace to an end. After this peace ended, then something very, very significant happened. That was the taking away of the daily sacrifice in the Jerusalem temple and the setting up of the abomination of desolation by Antiochus Epiphanes. And this is covered in verses 28 through 31 of Daniel chapter 11, which is what we're going to go over in the next program. I hope that in this program you saw very clearly that this Antiochus Epiphanes, he was a master of setting up covenants, agreements, working very, very subtly to work his way into power. And then once he got into power, he became a very wicked person. Well, that is the same pattern that the future abominable person, this future vile person, will follow.